There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's Burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. Another win for the Three Lions, and the Premier League is getting greedier. It's Monday, 12th of October. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm greedy Pete Donaldson.
Easy, etc. Done it again, haven't we? Best in the world, you call yourselves. Come and have a go.
Yeah.
Send them homeward to think again, Pete Donaldson.
I've never heard so many people talk about the FIFA rankings in one weekend. No, they're the best. They are the best.
That is a trophy. That is a major trophy.
Yeah,
in scalp. A way. Come on.
Yeah.
England aren't as good as Belgium, are they? I know. Makes them an even better.
Yeah. You're literally rubbing your hands with glee there.
I thought he was going to set fire to it. He's doing it with such
knocking
gusto.
Up some kindling.
Yeah.
Oh, it was lovely, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the second half was all right, yeah.
Second half good, first half not so good.
No, not so good. unusual decision to employ Eric Dier, firstly, at all.
Uh-huh.
Secondly, as a sort of,
been furloughed.
Sort of quarterback role. Just sort of raking it
enforcer.
Long.
Enforcer.
My goodness, how about that? Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Let's all calm down for just a brief moment before we get ourselves riled up again. Yes, of course we go straight to the Nations League where England beat Belgium, in case you hadn't worked that out from that nonsense there. But it's good day to you, Jim Campbell. It's good day to you, Pete Donaldson.
Hello.
And good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. It's good. It's a happy Monday, isn't it? It makes all the difference, because I thought England were going to be beaten about 3 or 4.
Yeah, I thought they would just like slump to a, not maybe not by 3 or 4, but slump to a 1-0 or a 2-1. And they didn't do that. And they almost looked like they were playing for that in the first half. Incredibly, I'm really surprised that they came out of that with a win, because it was a very conservative team that was always going to sort of struggle to create. And I kind of wondered what Gareth Southgate's plan was, but it all came to fruition. I'm actually really happy for him that Mason Mount scored as well, because Southgate out is starting to do the rounds. That was trending on Twitter. And a lot of people are angry that he didn't didn't start Jack Grealish, although I don't think he was ever going to start Jack Grealish.
We've always got to have one kind of like...
Yeah,
there's always going to be someone like that, isn't there?
Oh, you've got to get him on. You've got to get him
on. It's nice we found him, though.
Yeah, but, I know, finally, yeah.
He'll be delighted. This will be the role he's always dreamed of playing for England.
Very much so. Yeah. Do you know what he said on Friday? He was like, oh, I'd love to play like Gazza. I was like, oh, Jack really feeding into
come
it.
Come on, that. Stop it. Stop
don't
it, Jack.
Don't do it. Robson took ages to get you in.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But... So part of the narrative behind that was when he was asked about Jack Grealish after the game the other day, he basically immediately just started talking about Mason Mount instead. So the fact that Mount has scored maybe eases some pressure there.
He certainly does.
Eases
the pressure. Yeah. Peter, England had three right backs in the game. people were saying it's a bit lopsided. Did he need a fourth in there to balance it out?
I think it's just it does slow down the game somewhat, doesn't it, when you've got to check back and you're right every time. But I think the warning signs would be there against teams like Denmark and Iceland. Belgium are a team who can let's not
best
forget
in the world, aren't they?
Let's not forget
top of the rankings.
Lukaku's the only player in that, on that pitch that for Belgium who had a decent left foot on him. England are not as talented or creative to slow the game down like that, so that's why people will obviously get
Gazza out,
Grazza.
Start calling him Grazza.
Grazza. Get Grazza back on.
Get Grazza in there.
I thought it was going to be a narrow win for Belgium and no lesson learned. But look, you can't argue. There are no pictures of the score sheet, as we always say.
Damn right.
And you can't argue with the result against a team that they've tried to best twice and failed in recent memory.
Into the history books that result goes, and we'll close the book as well. Yes, I mean, England, the formation, the 3-4-3, has had a bit of scrutiny, it's fair to say. Mm. And Southgate says, for the players we have, that's what he wants to play. Now, clearly doesn't trust the defenders. You can understand why. Mm. So thinks, okay, back three, but he likes the forward line, there's pace, there's panache, there's a bit of something up there. So he doesn't want to lose that front line in a 3-5-2, for example. So the 3-4-3 seems to be his sort of pragmatic approach, Jim. And his pragmatism worked in the World Cup. I understand people can say, well, they never actually beat anybody good in the World Cup. No, I get that, you know, but they did get to the semi-final.
Yeah.
So they didn't do too badly. And the UEFA Nations League, they you know, managed to get to the last four of the tournament, obviously, again, being beaten by a better side. So what do you make of it all then? Because people say, oh, well, England should... We're in a funny situation where people say, well, England, they should go out and express themselves. He's holding them back. Mm. But at the same time, people say, well, Belgium are obviously better than England.
Yeah, I mean, you're never going to beat Belgium if you go toe-to-toe with that side. And I think it's very tempting to just want England to play like Brazil 1970. and we've had this for such a long time, haven't we? Just because of the strength of the Premier League and because this kind of ridiculous idea that we invented the game and all that. I think it all feeds into itself, that there's this idea that we should play this scintillating swashbuckling football. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, we want to go as deep into a tournament as possible. And I think it's important that Southgate explores how to play against these better teams and actually get a result, because that's where England come unstuck in knockout football, as so many teams do.
When the chips are down, so to speak, they don't seem to work as hard as they need to, and they look bereft of ideas. But they dug in, they stuck to the task, and they managed to win on this particular situation. It was disciplined and it was organised second half, and I think that's what. And they massively lucked out by the fact there was a penalty and a massively deflected shot as well. So
it could
have been a 1-0.
And also Belgium's goal, the disallowed goal, you may have seen given on another day.
That was like brilliant. For about 2 or 3 minutes, it did look like the line I was going, I don't know, VAR picked that up. Oh, hang on a minute. That wasn't to be the case, but it was glorious. It was probably like a hands on the hips job. What are you all looking at me for?
Have we got a read on why there's no VAR? I forget why this... there are so many kind of like weird decisions that have been made in the last season
I suspect it's probably because some grounds
for
some of the countries...
Can't implement it. But I... Yeah, right, okay.
Means if you've got to have a level playing field across the board.
Well, like the FA
Cup. Point in case, Peter. Point in case.
Did you do you notice that they put the band in the crowd noise when England scored?
I don't mind the band.
Shut up.
Get out, Marcus. I actually auditioned for them.
Yeah, sure you did.
Yeah, I'm going to do it again.
Yeah, the three of us actually bounced around among them, didn't we, at Euro 2012?
Yeah.
Horrible.
Uh-huh. Horrible
Pete was,
people.
Pete was quite static to say he was bouncing.
No, yeah, I didn't enjoy that.
He'd had so much non-alcoholic beer, he convinced himself that he was drunk.
Yep, I was.
Yes, I mean, so obviously the first half was all to see that Belgium were far superior. There was, it was quite funny, for the first sort of 7 or 8 minutes or little period at the start, England kept the ball sort of okay, but I mean, it was to attacking threat.
It was honestly, it was just passing it around the back four, wasn't it? And then a lot of sort of just, all right, let's go back to square one. And that is what everyone hates about the bad old days of England. I think we're on a knife edge, aren't we? Because we're so ready for that to turn and come back. Because
we really want possession football.
I was watching the first half and I was like, Kieran Trippier's had a good couple of matches. Well,
he stepped in really, really well to play left wing back there, because Southgate praised him after the game, and a lot of people have sort of been a bit funny about his inclusion. But this is an example of the benefits being reaped of Southgate keeping the squad harmony together and just making it clear that players have a place, even if they sort of lose their place in a particular game within the squad. And Trippier being so familiar around the place and being asked to play that role and then doing it really, really well, I think Southgate deserves credit for creating that environment. And I think part of the problem is that the midfield looks a bit stodgy, doesn't it? The centre of midfield. And there's this idea in football that if you're going to play a possession-based game, or you are going to play a game where you unlock an opponent's defence, your creativity has to come in the middle of the pitch. But I don't think that's necessarily true in the modern game. If you look at a lot of teams, Liverpool would be a good example. A lot of their creativity comes from the wide areas.
Yep.
And England have... they have players better suited to playing that sort of game. So I think that
one of those Liverpool players plays for England,
absolutely,
you know, with Alexander Arnold.
Absolutely. He's a huge part of that.
Well, actually, Cole made a fair point, actually, which was Alexander Arnold playing right wing back. He's further up the pitch. And actually, you want him at right back, where he has a little bit more room in front of him. And that's where a lot of his attacking threat comes from.
Yeah. I wonder if that was part of the thinking of having Kyle Walker next to him.
Well, possibly. I thought Walker did okay. I mean, with regards to the three right backs, Walker has played in the back three before, and his pace
well as well.
Yeah, he had a good game, as it would turn out. Because again, you can get fixated on the first half. You can also get fixated on the second half. So it is wise to keep both in mind. And Walker actually he did all right, considering that, you know, he was really worried that his England days were over after that sending off against Iceland. You know, so to bounce back with a performance. But remember this: we know these players. They're playing against a better side. And by the way, I still think, as I'm sure we all do, Belgium are a better side than England, despite a 2-1 win with slightly fortuitous. And I know Belgium are missing players. England had one or two players out, and Kane obviously not starting, and obviously one, and Raheem Sterling injured as well.
Grealish.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's James Maddison?
Yeah, where are they all, Jim? Mm. You know, but with regards to with Walker back there, and so Trent Alexander-Arnold, okay, well, he's the right wing back, so that's fair. If Southgate feels that, say, Saka is not ready to play against Belgium, then you can have a right footer playing on the left. I mean, this is the old days. Yeah. I mean, Belgium had the same.
Yeah.
With was it Castagne who was playing on the left as a, you know, he was playing on the opposite side. I think it was the back three people were a bit unsure about. You know, Mings is a more sort of left-footed centre-half. But again, if you look at the choices, I think Connor Cody would be maybe a touch disappointed that he didn't start, and he seems to be a better option.
He's certainly the one knocking hardest on the door, I would think.
Especially when it comes
to
the
lineup is for Denmark.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
And you've got to remember, like, they were up against probably the in-form European striker in Romelu Lukaku. You give him a chance and he's going to put it away. I think they marshaled him as best as they possibly could.
Yeah, I don't know. He was on top in the first half, wasn't he?
He is unplayable at times. Yeah, he's unplayable.
I mean, Lukaku, it does. I know hindsight is it can be a bit sort of reductionist in certain arguments, but you think Manchester United.
He's lost the best part of a stone, and he looks more powerful. Bizarre.
I think with Lukaku, he's you know, because he's got the size and the speed and all the rest of it, but he's got the brain as well. Yeah. When you see him, that he can play in that system and that formation, and it shows as well going to Inter, different league, and scoring a lot of goals there.
He's one of the most intelligent strikers.
That was personified when they played Brazil. I know it was 2 years ago now, but in the World Cup when they beat them 2-1, it was a brilliant performance by Belgium, and he didn't score that day, but his movement and his position, it was so crucial.
And in the modern game, there's so much more to think about.
Oh, there is.
You can compare players of his generation to your Weirs and your Ronaldos and stuff like that. But there is just so much more to think about, and there's less variation in how teams play. So you've got to find those like half spaces in behind or in front of the team.
And if you look at that Belgian front three, what they did so well was, you know, they basically, whenever England had the ball defensively, they were just like, right, we're going to force you out wide. And then, of course, the Belgium wing-backs pushed up and said, right, well, we'll just mark it. And England just couldn't get out. And you could see that this was a Belgian side who knew that formation. You know, Martinez, who's been derided, you know, a few years ago and so on, and probably not now, but what he's done with this Belgian side, you know, they had a great World Cup. But they are top of the rankings, which is an achievement for Belgium and Martinez. Of course it is. You know, they've done it so very, very well. So I mean, yeah, at half-time, you think England were very fortunate. I mean, Jordan Henderson, was it a penalty, Jim?
He insists it is, but I don't see that it is.
I loved it when him and, what's his name, was it Munya, or the defender who fouled him, were sort of talking about it after the game. And it was quite nice to see that in sort of a weird way. Peter, penalty for
Dark
you?
Dark arts.
Yeah.
Dark arts.
But again, though, if that had happened against England, people would have said, well, that's the thing about England, they're not canny enough to win these kind of things.
Let's cheat our way to victory. I'm all for it.
We're riding luck. We are playing the system again, the system a little bit. I'm all for it because that's what everybody else does. Let's not think we're fucking better than it because we're not.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I think it was Jonathan Lewin, The Guardian, who said what actually England did really well is they turned it into a wrestling match.
Yeah.
And that is what you want. England, as you say, Jim, can't go toe-to-toe with Belgium. So it's kind of like, well, what can we do? So Southgate said, right, push higher. Get higher, for crying out loud. They came out. They were more aggressive with Lukaku. Yeah, so Maguire's a big lad. Do you know what I mean? You can be aggressive. There's no point in trying to say, right, okay, what we're going to do, we're now going to play like Spain 2012. It's not going to happen.
It's nice to see Maguire being managed.
But be more aggressive, play higher, play to your strengths, for crying out loud, do that. Calvin Phillips coming on, you think to yourself, he could play a crucial role for England, just pinging the ball about. But what England did all right was, again, there's the difference between a hoof and a long pass. Ask Xabi Alonso. Okay, there's a difference between the two. And at times, if you have a high press like Belgium did, sometimes to go over it is actually an option. Now, I know that does look like England are going to go
just
back
going route
to
route one.
Yeah, exactly. Go back.
You wondered what it would be like under Allardyce. Well, let me show you.
But it's not a question of, as I say, hoof it up to whoever. But England do have pace on the flanks. They do have something. So if you're getting inundated and you're playing against a better side who know what to do with the ball and so on. Yeah, okay. You don't want to give it away straight away. That is a danger with that sort of tactic.
And it's not going to be your first option, is it?
No,
in an ideal world.
But it is an option sometimes. Absolutely. To go over the press. You know, we've seen better managers than Southgate tell his teams
it'd be foolhardy not to if it's your only option, which is what it felt like at times.
It did. So England are playing Denmark on Wednesday night. They will expect to win that game. Denmark beat Iceland 3-0. England beat Iceland 1-0, Peter. So really, England again the underdogs.
So how do you think England will line up? I don't know if Ben Chilwell will be available for that game.
But I
would imagine if he is, he'll start.
Well, there's talk of Kane being in the side because Southgate wants to annoy Mourinho, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Which is very fair. But I think, you know, I wouldn't quite probably see Sancho maybe a little bit more. He only got a few minutes.
Any involvement for Graza? I'd like to see him involved. I don't know. I doubt he'll start him.
Greaser is better than Graza?
Yeah, why not? Okay. I mean, I'm sure the tabloids will pick it up and
if
you know, put some panache on it.
If they do, we'll get blamed for that.
Absolutely. You will, because you didn't stop me doing it. And that's your role. So do you think there'll be any involvement from him? I'd like to see him even if just come off the bench, because there are three more camps before the Euros?
Southgate's very...
Saka.
Graza.
Graza.
Oh, Graza, sorry.
Yeah.
Graza or Saka.
I think Southgate is aware with the situation with Grealish that the one good thing, when Southgate took over, he wasn't like some England managers who did bow to media pressure. You know, Steve McLaren all but admitted that after when his time at England finished, where the media is saying, well, hang on, you've got to play this player, you've got to play that player, you've got to play this, that, and the other. Now, England hadn't had that so much because the stars of yesteryear, Ferdinand, Gerrard, Lampard, so England don't have so many kind of big names like they did back in those days. And so Southgate basically came in and just sort of did what he wanted because he had a bit of a free hit.
Yeah.
And then in the World Cup 2018, expectations were genuinely generally quite low. I know we've sort of, in previous tournaments, people say, what I really like about England at the moment is expectations are low and that'll go well for us. And you think, you realise you've just undone everything you've said there. But they were quite low. Now, Southgate, now there is a little bit of expectation and so on. And now people are saying, pick him. And I think Southgate is aware that he doesn't want to suddenly bow to sort of media pressure and so on. So will we see Grealish? Perhaps. And I don't think he's going to cut his nose off to spite his face. But at the same time, that is a thing that he needs to manage, which other England managers have succumbed to. And once you open the door to that, then often you're done for. So it's a very tricky situation with regards to that. But I hope he does okay. And I know that people are saying, oh, Southgate, some people are now saying, oh, is he holding this England team back and so on? I think I still think we won't know until the tournament, because that pragmatic approach, I think, is important. I know England have got some players that can play, but there are teams that are better than England.
Yeah, I just think the idea that...
Did Deschamps, you know, hold that France side back in the World Cup?
Quite. It's a great comparison. I do think that if you pick the most attacking, creative England lineup possible and you go toe-to-toe with Belgium, you will still lose. So, yeah, I'm concerned by the pre-backlash that we're starting to see, to be honest.
Indeed. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. I still enjoyed it, and I think you can be happy for me, no matter where you are from in the world. Scotland got another win. This time
they
didn't.
Beaten run continues.
They didn't need penalties this time. They wouldn't have been offered penalties, so they thought, well, we better get the job done.
Yeah, it was bought, don't like extra time. First time since what, 1963, was it? Ooh,
61.
None of that.
When Spurs won the league, was it, Jim?
Oh, I don't know.
That's how long ago it was. just a little one for you on a Monday morning, okay? Yeah, they beat Slovakia 1-0. Slovakia, of course, will be playing Northern Ireland in their Euro playoff final. What was very enjoyable about this is that Aberdeen defender Andrew Considine made his debut, international debut, 33. Not even in his 20s,
no,
Peter.
No, McGinn's 29, isn't he?
Yeah.
McGinn's never too late, lads. Never too late. Yeah.
Scotland now unbeaten in a year. Seven games on the trot. They're
I really want them to get there.
Stevie
does
Clark.
Does that tell all the stories, though? Does that tell a story?
It tells all the stories that we're going to bring to the table. Stevie Clark, nice to see him smiling again.
Yeah.
He really is having a nice time. And he was purring. He said, you know, we controlled the game for a lot of it and it was a nice goal that they scored.
I know that you covered this on Friday, but it is unusual to see him smile.
Very unusual, yeah.
You know how you can tell that a Picasso painting is supposed to be a person, but it's really abstract. Yeah, yeah. It's a similar effect, isn't it?
Is it like seeing when he was in his pomp, Ronaldinho like looked sad? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So great win for them. What about Ireland versus Wales? No goals in that one.
I watched some of that game, and then I wondered how many people throughout the land were watching it. I thought the vast majority of them will be Irish or Welsh, and then I was like, I'm not Irish or Welsh. I'm turning this off. And I regret nothing.
Why?
It was awful. It was terrible.
It was all right, wasn't it?
No.
Ethan Abadji had a good match.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The Wales kit looked a bit like the Island away kit.
I don't know. It did.
The exact same
2 points
shots.
In and the Wales kit looks a bit like the...
I'll be honest with you, Pete. One of the takeaways for me was the Welsh kit.
Yeah, incredible choice.
Yellow and green.
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah.
That.
I know. I mean, James McLean got sent off. He accepted the decision.
He
walked before the card.
Yeah.
I mean, the first one, it was unlucky because he clearly has not meant to stamp, to rake down the opposition player, I forget who it was, back of his heel. So you kind of think, I can understand how he feels a bit aggrieved about getting booking there. But I mean,
he knew where he was. He knew where he was in the second one.
It was a nasty one. and then the second one, I mean, if you fly in that recklessly, he was arguing that he never really got the player or he wasn't.
I never really understood myself before this moment. Referee, I never really understood myself before this moment. Please don't send me off. I've learned so much about myself right now. Oh, it's a red. It's a red.
Right. You flick the switch now. And in he goes. Yeah. It's a shame for him because obviously he'll probably miss the next match at least. But 0-0. Both sides seem quite sort of. I suppose Ireland going down to 10 men, even though it was sort of fairly late on, you know. But Ryan Giggs seems sort of quite pleased that they got a point. I mean, Wales, other than the friendly against England, but it was just a friendly, you know.
They've got a lot of absences, haven't they? But they've got a lot of absences as well, haven't they? I guess.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're missing back. Like, they're missing all of their best players, yes. effectively. So
name one of the players they're missing.
Gareth Bale.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah. Is he still a player?
Yeah.
No, he's in there somewhere, isn't he? But, yeah, but Wales have got to be pleased with their work of late. Hmm. what about Northern Ireland had, what, 600 fans in against Austria?
Yeah.
It was a bit of a...
disappointment.
Yeah, but I think after the penalty shootout, you know, away in Bosnia-Herzegovina, you know, this was a bit of a damp squib.
But still, it's nice to see.
I quite enjoyed that. Though, because there were 600 fans in there, it was really weird that they all seemed to be in unison with what they were, how, their thoughts on the game. And of course, having had no sound previously, or being drowned out by, say, you know, 20,000 people or whatever it would be, you could hear them all very clearly every time Austria missed a chance, which seemed quite a lot. Austria seemed to miss a hatful of good chances there. Mm. The kind of, hey! Like they were absolutely loving it.
Yeah.
It's great.
This is I went to see some football over the weekend.
Did you?
Some live football. My first live football since.
Hark at you.
Probably, might have been last year, in fact.
Maybe.
Crazy. I want to see Berkhamsted play the Comrades. They won 5-0 first.
Where is this?
First
win of the season. Is this Hertfordshire?
So, yeah, yeah. First win of the season, 5-0. Thank you. You're welcome, Berkhamsted FC. But they beat them handsomely. And I had a couple of Guinnesses.
Uh-huh.
And
ran on the pitch?
No, I went on their Twitter and I was like, I'm going to follow. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And then they said one of the players, Ali Bangra, he's like he's a winger. He played really well. He's like doing Ronaldo chops left, right, and centre.
Yeah.
I just started following him on Twitter and they're like, what am I? I'm just following blokes on Twitter now. Like, at that level, they're just blokes.
That's all right.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's just a bloke, though.
But so is everyone, ultimately, right?
What's Jack Grealish, then?
Well, he's a bloke who commands, you know, the attention of the world because he's an international footballer.
Yeah.
But this lad, he's playing in the 8th tier of football.
And he's impressed you. And he's thought, I like the cut of this guy's jib.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
see what he thinks about...
And in among
memes.
And in among Jack Grealish and Romelu Lukaku, you've mentioned him.
He looks about 18, though. Yeah, hey, that's a problem. I'm just following 18-year-olds men on Twitter.
Now here we get to the nub. Yeah, do you want to open up anymore?
I sent him my nub.
I
sent him my nub.
Speaking of young footballers who have impressed, what about Erling Braut Haaland?
He gets more terrifying by the day.
Yes.
Born in Leeds.
Uh-huh.
If we had him disrupting that England dressing room.
Him and Kane.
Holding Southgate up by his throat. play Grazza. He's a monster, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
He missed more than he actually put away in this match. It was a hell of a back heel at one point. Flying back heel.
The point as well where he nutmegged the defender with one foot and shot with the other. Just he's so good. I'm so excited about his
skills.
Future.
He's Shearer with skills. and more physical.
He's Ivan Drago with skills.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Well, Norway got a great 4-0 win against Romania.
Mm,
yeah, they had fans in as well.
Yeah,
just Romania looked shell-shocked at the back. They were I reckon I could have done a slide rule through that back four.
Yeah, but also, that's Erling making it look easy.
But Norway,
he was already receiving the pass.
Oh.
In terms of football, Norway have underachieved for a long time, I think we'd all argue. And
I don't know if I would argue that. They've not had a great crop of players.
No, but weirdly, they overachieve or they sort of dominate a lot of winter sport, which is not that surprising.
Right.
But, it's written about in Soconomics, actually, quite a lot.
Right.
And they've just been bang average for a long, long time. But now with Haaland and Martin Odegaard coming through as well, it's like they might be seeing a little bit of a golden generation, if I may curse them with such a term.
Yeah, you have, haven't you?
Yep.
Okay, sorry
just
about
trying
that.
To level the playing field.
Sorry, Norway. Your boys took one hell of an overhyping. All right, now it's time for a quick break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Join me, Melissa Reddy, and listen to my brand new podcast, Between the Lines. I'll be speaking to the biggest names in football about the captivating, behind-the-scenes stories fans want to hear. From major talking points to untold anecdotes, you'll hear from some of football's leading stars as well as those working in the shadows. In our first episode, I spoke to former Spurs manager Maurizio Pochettino about that Amazon documentary.
We feel responsible because it was very difficult to say yes to open the door to Amazon. Only we watch with Jesus the 25 minutes first, because it was until we left the club.
And on our latest episode, I investigate how prevalent and damaging social media abuse is in football.
And I was like taking all this negativity onto myself, and I did. I kind of lost myself and my personality because I knew everything that was going on around it. And it's not until I actually got to a stage where I thought, I can't take this anymore. It is becoming too much for me, that I spoke out about it.
Craving football insight? Well, look no further. Listen to Between the Lines with me, Melissa Reddy, via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Always believe in your soul.
I said, no, you're getting up there.
You got the power to know. Indestructible. Always believe in Carlton Cole.
Oh, it's Carlton Cole singing his own song.
Wow.
Always believe in.
Amazing.
Welcome back to the Football Ramblings. I think actually my favourite thing of the international break has been hearing the players sing the national anthem.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Because normally when the whole stadium's sort of singing it and it's there, they sing it with a bit of gusto. But even if they don't sing it with gusto, you think, well, they look focused. They're kind of, they might look like they're sort of mumbling the words, but they and then when you hear them like that, they are just going,
good. Respect we deserve.
The then, Queen.
Yeah, but then what are you going to do, Jim?
I got an OBE.
It was an MBE.
It was an MBE, sorry. I always forget it was. Yeah.
Good old Rashford. It's nice to have a Marcus, isn't it?
Always nice to have an MBE.
Didn't even mention him, and he scored the penalty, for crying out loud.
Good penalty.
A bit of respect. Right, anyway, it's time for Betway 4 to Score update. Of course, before we get to the emails, let's see how we got on in our 4 to Score this weekend. Entry to Betway's 4 to Score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. Game 1. Ukraine versus Germany. Vish picked Serge Gnabry. The result was Matthias Ginter. Wrong. No 50 grand for charity. Game 2, Spain versus Switzerland. Luke picked Rodrigo. And of course, it was Mikel Oyarzabal who got the goal. Wrong again. Game 3, England versus Belgium. Jules picked Dominic Calvert-Lewin. The result was Romelu Lukaku. Wrong again. Game 4, France versus Portugal. I picked Ronaldo. There was no goal scorer. Wrong again. We didn't fare very well there, ladies and gentlemen. But the good news is, we'll be back with another round of Betway's 4 to Score on the preview show this Friday. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game, everybody. Further T's and C's apply. You've got to be 18 or over and do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for this.
Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vince, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, or Marcus can read it out. Well done.
It's time for emails, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Campbell, what are you holding?
I'm holding an email from Sean Meachin. Sorry, Sean. nearly gave you the wrong name, but I think I saved it just in time. Hi, Ramblers. From March 2012 to June 2019, I was the mascot for the mighty Heart of Midlothian as Tiny Tiger, Jock the Jambo, and even occasionally as a legendary mascot, Hearty Harry. Did that three mascots there?
Jock the Jambo.
I like the idea of a team of mascots. That was cool. I also received a national call-up and worked as Rory the Lion a few times. So we're talking to mascot royalty here.
Rory the Lion.
In this time, I was getting paid £15 a game, which involved me greeting the fans before going into the kids' club, having a kickabout on the pitch with match day mascots before kickoff, and back out for some halftime entertainment. On a match day, I'd on average be in the suit for about 90 to 120 minutes with the odd opportunity to nip away for a minute, take the heat off, and get a drink of water. As I'm sure Marcus will know, Hearts have had their financial issues and spent some time in administration. During that time, I worked for free, as everyone there just wanted to help the club. The job of a mascot is sometimes a thankless one, and not all of us are as financially rewarded as Gunnosaurus, but we do it for the love of our clubs and to feel a part of it. That being said, if you now have any 80 grand a year mascotting vacancies, feel free to send them my CV. Thanks, Sean.
80 grand,
80 grand a year.
15 quid a game.
15 quid an hour, to be fair, I believe it was.
Maybe I could have Berkhamsted be their mascot.
Yeah, just as yourself.
It's a big flag.
You sort of dress like a mascot anyway, don't you?
The Berkhamsted Burke.
You know what that's slang for.
Yeah, I know.
What
that's
is it slang for?
Berkshire Hunt.
Berkshire Hunt.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I like that a lot. From Matty in Spellside. Didn't that used to say Spearside? Did you change to Spellside, Marcus?
No idea. Oh,
okay. Morning, Ramblers. Listening to emails about crazy tactics gave me Vietnam style flashbacks to when I was an assistant manager for an under 12s team. First game of the season, the manager, Charlie, just changed it on the running order. It was actually Spearside, but Marcus was saying Spellside in the pre meeting, so he accidentally wrote Spellside. So it was very much. He was led by the court. Led by the court?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
With apologies to everyone at Speyside High.
Yes. Listen to your emails about crazy tactics, give me Vietnam style flashbacks to the when I was an assistant manager for an under-12s team. First game of the season, the manager, who I was assigned to by the league, got the team round in a circle, pulled out a handheld whiteboard and started drawing what he wanted the team to do. With our team in black pen and the opponents in red, he started telling the kids he wanted a deep line, but wanted at least four offside traps.
Four offside traps?
Is that for like individual
each
players?
Each defender. Yeah. You've all got your own offside zone.
He also wanted no more than one player in each column of the pitch. And finally, drawing long lines on the ball from defence to attack, he said he wanted the ball moving in three crossfield passes on the counter. Bearing in mind, they're no older than 12. As you can imagine, the whistle blows and our team just saw scream, "Ah!" and charge the opposition. The manager then proceeds to throw his whiteboard on the sideline in disgust and walks off. I got a call a couple of days later from the kids' league that the manager had quit. Seems like trying to teach kids the intricate tactics of football isn't going to work with 12-year-olds. Who knew?
Yeah. Just give him the Scunthorpe rush.
Yeah.
That's all they want. Target them. I like that. That was very good. Four bloody offside traps.
Jesus.
My goodness. Well, that is the email section for another day, everybody. show@footballramble.com, as the song says, and you could be read out on the Football Ramble.
Indeed.
How about that? Right, gentlemen, let's talk about greed. The Premier League's pay-per-view proposal. Games not selected for broadcasts in October will now be the meagre sum of £14.95 each. So, if you are a mascot at Hearts, you can put nearly all your money into that. Does that sound like a good idea, Jim?
Sounds like a strange deal.
Yeah, it hoped to be only a solution for October, and fans could be back in stadiums after. It all does seem unlikely.
A lot of weasel words in the in these proposals, aren't there? Because it's like, yeah, well, it should only be for October,
unless it's all season, which it might be.
But then if we like it, we might keep it longer.
It's very, very frustrating, isn't it? Because obviously clubs are dealing with a shortfall in revenue. But aside from Jeff Bezos, who isn't dealing with a shortfall in revenue at this point? You just feel like the concerns of the Premier League clubs, revenue streams are just an irrelevance right now. You know, the Premier League doesn't get to plead poverty and charge this much. 15
electricity
quid a game.
Electricity ain't that expensive.
No.
You are saving a bit of money by not having people in the stadium, but it's not that expensive.
I mean, Alex Hirst, chairman of the Newcastle United Supporters Trust, said that the idea that the Premier League club clubs need to implement pay-per-view because of economic needs would carry more weight if they hadn't just spent $1 billion on players, furloughed staff, received government loans, weren't charging fans for games they aren't going to, and hadn't just made thousands of staff redundant. Mm. He makes a fair point. I understand that one can be, you know, a little bit simplistic with arguments, but I can't get away from the words that he said. Yeah.
Sticks in the craw, doesn't it? It's so expensive to have access to all football.
Yeah, well, and this is on top of the subscription fees that you pay for BT Sport and Sky Sports.
Popular one-woman Twitter storm Ennio Luco was on the weekend saying, look, it's the best league in the world. We're constantly told this is the best league in the world. 14 quid's a steal. It's like,
does she say that?
Yeah.
That's disappointed you, Peter.
She's locked down her tweets. She's had a weekend of it, unfortunately. But if you want to compare it to like a film or a theatre show through like £1 per minute, mm-hmm. films are quite expensive now. Yeah. Theatre's quite... But, you know, you don't buy a ticket to see Les Mis and then they don't lock the doors and go, well, do you want to watch it? Mm. Is it? You got to pay for it again.
Yeah.
You've got to pay for it again to watch it. It just seems...
It's not the same
maddening.
As... It can't be compared to the live experience, can it?
No, you're not paying for me to be in your fucking gaff.
Yeah.
So go fuck yourself.
There be dragons in terms of that.
How much do you charge people for your OnlyFans?
videos...
You're the only person to give it away, aren't you?
I pay them to watch it.
Oh, dear. Teams voted 19-1 in favour of the move.
Of course they did.
Do you know who was the one? Leicester City.
Yeah, good on them.
Is that something to do with Vardy? I don't know. Maybe. Hey, no, it's Brendan Rodgers. We're doing this for the supporters, okay?
Yeah.
That's what it is. Makes you must. Well done, Leicester. Well done.
Yeah, apparently, a lot of other clubs sort of did express concern but ended up voting with them anyway.
Not
but
that much concern is, that they didn't vote against
this
it.
This is apparently completely normal, though. This sort of thing happens all the time.
I mean, if you don't agree a price, I mean, the price is the price, but presumably the voting came along with it being available to everybody anyway. So I guess if you kind of pull yourself out of that, you're effectively saying, you can't, none of your supporters can watch your football effectively if you don't go along with the party whip. So I don't know.
Yeah. Easier said than done, perhaps. A source told The Athletic, like this, if you ask 20 millionaires to go into a room and decide what £15 means, this is what happens.
It's a beautiful
That's a lovely line.
Stunning.
It's so good. There's a bit in the fantastic show Succession where the patriarch of the family asks one of his young, very, very wealthy sons how much a pint of milk costs, and he's just got no idea. Yeah. And this feels like a sort of comparable thing.
Yeah. And it punishes...
15 quid, all right, isn't it? Double a Netflix subscription, pretty much.
Yeah.
For a single game?
Sammy Joseph does the Fulhamish podcast. He sort of worked out on Twitter on over the weekend. If 40% of your club's games aren't on TV, 15 games, you need to pay the following to watch all of your team's games. Now TV, 9 times 25 quid. BT, 9 times 30 quid. Amazon Prime, 2 times... £8, and then the non-TV games 15 times at £14.95. It's cracking on for £700 to watch something out of the stadium, which is just maddening, I think, for everyone. And look, it's only going to go in one direction. It's only going to drive people to illegal streams, unfortunately. It's a ridiculous amount of money, unfortunately.
It is, yeah. It's... It's not the worst idea we heard over the weekend. It's one of the worst ideas.
It's the one that's been agreed.
Yeah.
It's the one that's been agreed. Project Big Picture.
Mm.
How about that, eh?
Yeah.
The proposed Project Big Picture.
It's all
reforms.
Being shaken up this weekend, isn't it?
I know. I mean, led by Liverpool and Manchester United, this... I mean, as if the pay-per-view stuff hasn't got people's blood boiling, this certainly has. There's a lot of simmering going on, I think, this week.
Well, we have
football.
To say this has been not been agreed with everybody.
Proposed,
so it's been proposed.
It's effectively a leaked proposal as well.
Yeah,
So what it will include will include the big clubs getting bigger.
It will indeed, and the thing is.
Now there's a lot of detail here. Liverpool, Manchester United is sort of immediately saying the £250 million bailout to the Football League, then 25% of annual revenue given to the Football League, £100 million given to the FA to compensate for pandemic losses.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. Okay, that's nice.
There is a lot, and like 99% of these proposals, 99% of this plan for me is there's a lot of love in there, but it comes at an astronomical price.
Yeah, and it's in there for
and it's the last 1% that you go, no.
I would say, if you want sort of polarise, or not polarise, David Conn often writes quite eloquently about some of the sort of deeper issues of football. You know, did some amazing work with regard to kind of Hillsborough and all that as well. But he's written about this in The Guardian. Now, I was surprised, actually, because he did say, you know, he had his concerns. Of course he does, as everybody does. But he did say, let's not forget that there is actually a proposal here to try and bridge the enormous gap between Premier League and Football League.
Yeah.
And I think his point is, because at first I was a bit surprised, and I thought, oh, David, have they got to you? Surely not. Mm. But of course they haven't. And he was saying that this talk of connecting the Premier League and the Football League a bit more, we've had loads of talk and no action. Well, at least there's some sort of action being proposed here.
Rick Parry himself said that the Premier League have had plenty of time to do something like this and haven't.
Nothing,
but it's the cost it comes at, isn't it? There's some populist choices in there. Stuff like safe standing.
£20 away tickets.
Yeah, £20 away tickets and subsidised travel for away fans. All these things that look really, really good and are really good and that need to happen. But they come at this massive, massive price.
All you've got to do is give the keys to the top six.
Exactly.
The keys to the kingdom. And we can trust them, can't we?
I mean, the situations like them being able to veto new owners. You can loan 15 players to clubs within England, four of which can go to the same club. It's like...
Get rid of the League Cup.
So many conflicts of interest.
Get rid of the League Cup, get rid of the...
Community Shield.
I mean,
Community
Shield. Actually, I don't mind that because we'd be permanent champions of that.
It's just humorous that... So the problem that people have is the cut-off, the Manchester United, the Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, Spurs business. It's a very telling metric that Man City are in there, because why not go down instead of longer serving Premier League team, let's go games, because a lot of these teams have stank up the league for a long time, your Everton's, your Southampton's, stuff like that. Why don't we go down games played in the league, because Man City aren't in the top nine with that.
Well, they've won the league.
Let's go
Blackburn Rovers,
exactly. or let's go with points totals, because that pulls Villa and Newcastle in the top nine, so we get
there's another conflict of interest.
You're as bad as them.
I've seen blood. I've seen COVID. I'm going to take this opportunity to absolutely stiff everyone.
But that's what it is, isn't it?
It is massively.
It's awful.
But, you know, look. But Marcus is right. This is
Can we clip that?
This is a plan that will eventually make me, and it is now, make me think, I just hope Manchester United sink like a fucking stone.
Absolutely.
If I was a player at any other club other than that top 6/9, I'd be like, I want to fucking do everyone in this fucking league.
But it's to ensure that they don't, though, isn't it? Because obviously, you know, the bigger clubs would have a say in how the TV money gets divvied up. So we'd end up in a situation, maybe not as extreme, but similar to the one in Spain, where the majority of it is split between Madrid and Barcelona.
I think that the changes they were suggesting to be made for the Premier League kind of puts it in line with your France and your Germany. And obviously Germany should be the blueprint for any kind of like forward-facing kind of league competition. Does a sixth-place side in the Championship really deserve a place in the Premier League? Would I like to see a Premier League relegation playoff? Probably.
That would be. We'd enjoy that if it happened.
Remember the Frankfurt Barnstormer about five years ago?
So, there is an argument that actually an 18-team Premier League with fewer fixtures, without the League Cup and yada, 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 would aid the national team and would have benefits to it. Mm-hmm. But there's another
insidious thing, which is the
more matches played, the Saturdays would be, there's proposals that the Saturdays would be left open, which means there might be some sort of European Super League, which would be separate from UEFA. Mm. So...
I've never heard of this idea before. But when you say about it would aid the national team, well, Rick Parry, involved in the breakaway of the Premier League, I believe, unless my facts are wrong there.
He was the first chairman. So the Premier League was forged. Let's not forget, the Premier League was forged in a fucking kiln of turds.
Exactly.
Yeah, and a greed furnace.
But the Premier League, when it was formed, you know, and a lot of people who are, you know, far more learned than me would tell you that it was that has been a bad move for the sort of national game in this country and so on, ultimately. Because again, you look with envious eyes at what they do in Germany. The Premier League, one of the things was this will improve the national team.
Yeah, but you know for a fact, if the fewer games, they will find more games to play.
Exactly.
Around the world.
Lavish pre-season friendlies.
You know what,
yeah,
like.
Because one of the things, again, was that the season would start a bit later, so there'd be more room for friendlies, yeah. which just, as you say, means more sort of like, mm-hmm. you know, lavish tours.
I do like the fact that Parry, and obviously we've got to come to an end, because there's mm-hmm. so much to talk about yeah. in this proposal. There's so many different bits and bobs. But I do like that Parry offered the Big Six the chance to rejoin the AFL.
Yeah.
Which is like... That's like Monday night, you know, my increasing love of wrestling. It's Monday Night Wars. It's yeah, WCW. Yeah, it's ravishing Rick Rude going to WCW.
Oh, there you go.
But it's the height.
It's a breakaway. And the Premier League, a breakaway from the breakaway. Just how much is enough?
No, look, again, but it's just a load of millionaires sat around going, yeah. No one's got any money. Yeah. Let's fucking strike.
We could be billionaires.
Yeah. Henry's been going on this for like since 2012. Yeah. He's been loving this for
the
ages.
Best thing about that nine clubs, you've got the Big Six, and then they rope in Southampton, West Ham and Everton. Oh yeah, you're sort of a part of the club. Mm. All right, so do all nine of us need to agree? No, just two-thirds of us need to agree.
What's well,
two-thirds
of
nine? Hang on a minute.
Yeah, no way.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is gonna run and run until it's either implemented and we all go to hell in a handcart, or it's rejected and we look forward to the next one. Mm. So there we are. Speaking of which, on tomorrow's show, I'll be back with Andy and Luke to talk about lots and lots of football-y things, as we tend to do on the Football Ramble. But until then, say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
Ta-ta.
And it's goodbye from me.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.